Let's take our Bibles once again and look together in Acts chapter 10. And my text is taken from verse 44 down to verse 48. And I want to speak with you on this title, The Blessing of the Spirit. The Blessing of the Spirit.
Again, it's a good name of Bible at home, Pokula Majibe, Mututeni, Imadia, 44, Vatiga, 48, Maga, Mutuo, Zola, Zero, Nidaliso, Lam Zimu, Daliso, Lam Zimu.
So I'll read a verse and then you can read it there in your dialect. But verse 44 says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, and that word should be languages. Not gibberish, for they heard them speak with languages and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?
In Malachi 6:47. Pakuti anawamba iyo alikulankula ndima lilime. Kama wali malilime, awandoza alikulankula zilankulo zosia na kiana. Kose nizosa beteseka hayo. Hii kumkuza Mulungu, pamene kwa Petro anayanka. Kodi padmungu, wako za kuleta madzi, kodi asabadizibi awa, amene alandila mzimo ya ngati so ife.
And he commanded them to be baptized, and in the original that word means immersed. He commanded them to be immersed in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
Ndipo anaalamulira iwo amizidwe madzi mzina la Yesu Kristu. Pamenepo anampempa iye atsose matseku.
Now there is much confusion today among professing Christians over the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Palipo chisokonezo chachikulu kwa mbili maka kwa anthu amene azipembezo, amene amatama kwa kuchalichi, amene amatama pembezawa, maka kama kambazawu mtu kwa mbili wa Yesu Kristu, palipo sokonezo kwa wate.
Now notice, I said there's much confusion among those who profess to be Christians. There are many that name the name of the Lord and yet do not know it. And we've seen many times Matthew 7 where many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, but the Lord will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And I'd have to say the same thing concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit, that there is much confusion today among those who profess to be Christian about the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you that the confusion is not because the scriptures are unclear. The confusion is because men in their blindness cannot see apart from the Spirit of God giving them eyes to see. Now, my purpose in this message is not to give us an exhaustive study on the Holy Spirit. We would not have enough time. But I would like to take this portion that we have before us and that we're studying, these five verses, and from them see what the plain truth is concerning the Holy Spirit and His work. The first plain truth concerning the Holy Spirit is that it is God's to give. He is God's to give. Notice how it's put in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, Peter is not preaching on the Holy Spirit. We've seen that before. He was preaching Christ, as we can see in verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. But as he was preaching from the scriptures, Christ, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. That expression, the Holy Ghost fell on them. When something falls on you, you're not the one that's purposing it. It is sent. The Holy Ghost fell on them according to God's purpose. It's like someone saying, I was walking to the house and suddenly the rain fell on me. You didn't go up there and get the rain and bring it down. It fell on you. God sent it. God purposed it. We don't ever find in Scripture the disciples getting people together to teach them how to be baptized in the Spirit or how to receive the blessing of the Spirit if they'll just do certain things. No, the whole truth here, the plain truth is that as these sat listening to Peter preach Christ, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So I can tell you straightforward that if you ever come into a congregation or see preachers that have gathered people together and are trying to teach them how to receive the Holy Spirit by something they do, you can mark it down, they are false preachers. The plain truth is that the Holy Spirit is not at the beck and call of men. The Holy Spirit is given as Christ dictates. The amazing thing is that the book of Acts covers a period of about 40 years of preaching by the apostles. In over 40 years' time, what we read here in the scriptures is that there were only three times in 40 years that the Spirit was given in the manner that we're reading about right here. In 40 years. The first was in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. We've already seen that. The second is right here in Acts chapter 10 that we're studying. And the third will be in Acts chapter 19. And we've already seen previously how this pattern of the giving of the Spirit by God, according to His sovereign dictates, follows the pattern in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8 of how the Lord said the very power of God would come upon them, the disciples. If you look there in Acts 1:8, the Lord said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost," notice, "is come upon you." This is not speaking of His work in conversion, but in blessing, come upon you. Just like here it says, "fell on them." It's in the way of blessing. Showers of blessing shall come upon you. And notice, come upon you collectively. It's not an individual experience that somebody is supposed to seek, and so it comes on this one, but not on that one. When God is pleased to bless, He blesses all of His own. Just like here in Acts 10:44, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. All them which heard the word. If you've ever observed in these organizations and congregations where they profess again to be blessed by the Spirit, it's an individualistic thing. This one over here is going to raise their voice, that one over there, and they're trying to outdo one another. That's not the work of the Spirit. It becomes a shouting contest. This one over here tries to raise their voice higher and say more than this one back here. Now there's a spirit there, but it's not the Spirit of God. God is a God of order, but He's also a God of purpose. And when He blesses one, He blesses all who are in Christ. Now the reason for these three occurrences that we read in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8 tells us, first of all, in Jerusalem and all Judea. That's what took place on the day of Pentecost. That's where God, by His Spirit, was poured out. Christ was poured out in His Spirit, and it was the sign, it was the evidence that, as it says at the end of Acts 2 and verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The purpose of the pouring out was the declaration of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Njivage tika mamona machitidwe mchangayo kutika kwa mzimuwe na menaka tika maulendo atapi udali mbicholinga chapa choka panyoka
And that's an important point to bring out, that the pouring out of the Spirit, the blessing of the Spirit, is always in connection with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Acts 10, Peter was preaching Christ to Cornelius and his family, and the blessing of the Spirit was to confirm that what he declared was true concerning Christ. It was God's confirmation.
Yesu akalalikidwa pamalo mzimu wela amasika motsatira Yesu yamene walalikidwa pamalo ndichifalaje muchakuta tenu chimene tikuchiona ku mibano porto kwa awetro pamene adalalikira uthenga wabwino wa Yesu zotsatira zake mzimu wela adatsika cholinga cha mzimu wela potsika ndikukatsimikizira kuti zimene Yesu Khristu adachita mu imfa yake kupulumutsa ndizenizeni adapulumutsanzi kwake okha.
That's why Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up to explain what had taken place and these speaking in their languages, the wonders of God, which was declaring Christ, he didn't preach about the baptism of the Spirit. No, he declared Christ from the Scriptures. That's always the case.
Atayamba kuwalikira kutsira mkulo zosiyana siyana kwa malilime ya manuwa amra kwa zote zia mkulo. Kwa kwenye atayamba kuwalikira kutsira mkulo zosiyana siyana sada sike kwa doga hee chumine jeshkita pa nukwendu kwa kutsisani za mzimuera kwa nandila kikira za mzimuera ai yeye anani kuwalikira za Yesu Kristo kwa jilindu ya kwa mkanda zote salina zake kuri zimene kutsika ndi mzimuera zimene mkulo zona zishi simikizo kwa kutenga wapu ino ndiwokao wa Yesu Kristo basi.
That's how I can tell you plainly that what goes on in the name of the Spirit in religious circles today is not the Spirit of God, because it's not the Lord Jesus Christ who's being exalted. It's the Spirit. It's the preachers talking about the Spirit and the gifts and trying to get people stirred up and whipped up into some kind of emotion. But that's not the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to reveal Christ according to this word.
Kuchipake inchipene makurani kutimiki zile na baale wela mtima kuti andu onza amena kulalikira utenga amena kulalikira za mzimuela amena ama kutita za mzimuela na jiputitua kwa chapa choka saa kulalikira utenga wapu ino wambai bulomonga mamalemba kukua utenga wapu kukuma kukereka ulemu kukumu kweza Yesu yeka kuma jiputitua za mzimu izi.
Now, according to Acts 1:8, the second area where God had purposed the gospel to be preached, it says, and in Samaria. Where is Peter preaching to Cornelius? It's in Caesarea. Where's Caesarea? In Samaria. Why was the Spirit poured out there? It was a confirmation that now God was moving the gospel out of the center of Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria. The pouring out of the Spirit was a confirmation that indeed God was working.
If we are here, we are not going to be able to do it.
There are times where we might endeavor to go into certain areas, even now, preaching the gospel, thinking that there's a need, and thinking that certainly the gospel must be preached there, only to learn that the Lord hadn't blessed. You see, it's as the Lord blesses, as the Lord directs. What's the confirmation to Peter and these that accompanied him that he was doing God's work? The Spirit was poured out as he preached Christ. You see, we want the Lord's blessing as we go from place to place. We seek his blessing, but we don't direct it. It's the Lord who directs it. Now, when the Lord said, and in Samaria, you have to understand, that was not a good word for the Jews. These were, according to the Jews, this was a department just north of Judea, in the center part of Israel, that they considered these people to be impure because they were of a mixed race. Back when the Lord brought the Assyrian army down into Israel and took away those 10 tribes, the Assyrians, again, their enemy, intermarried with these Jews. And so the true purest Jews considered these Samaritans to be unclean. I suppose you have racism there in Malawi, just like we have it here in the United States, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it's between tribes. You might think, well, that they're not really Malawians because they actually came from over here and they mixed and intermingled, but we are the true Malawians. That's the way men reason. And I imagine they're like with these Jews. They considered certain ones just, you didn't talk to them. That they were impure. And for the Lord to say in Samaria that he was going to cause this gospel to be sent, you can imagine already how that would ring in their ears. But even when the Lord said in Samaria, and you can see that's the second reason, that's why this occurrence, this pouring out of the Spirit, now in Samaria, but it wasn't even first on a true Samaritan. Here was a Roman centurion in Samaria. That made it even worse because the Romans themselves were enemies of the Jews. This is why it was such a struggle for Peter when he understood that the Lord was sending him to not just to Samaria, but to a Roman centurion. But it's the Lord who led him and directed him. And the confirmation that the Lord was in it is when he poured out his Spirit. But that's why this second occurrence, this was God's confirmation that he was now bringing the gospel of Christ to Samaria, according to Acts 1:8. But then the third, which we're going to see when we get to Acts 19, it says, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When God poured out his Spirit the third time in the book of Acts, it's actually in the city of Ephesus, which would be today up in a country called Turkey. You hear about Turkey. That's the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, that's when God purposed now to carry this gospel beyond the regions of Israel, all the way up into Ephesus. Now again, coming back to what I said, 40 years is recorded in the book of Acts. Only three times do we read about the outpouring of the Spirit, and now we've seen why. It fits the pattern that our Lord Jesus Christ set.
Come again to that point.
Yes, I was showing that here's the point, that over 40 years that is described in the book of Acts of preaching the gospel, only three times do we read about the pouring out of the Spirit, and those three times are according to what Christ himself said would be the pattern, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's an amazing thing when you consider that those today that claim to have this special gift of the baptism of the Spirit, that they are endeavoring to make it happen every time they get together. And even in homes, it's a constant campaign, like a political campaign, to get the Spirit poured out. That's not of God.
Did you follow me? You showed up to me for a meeting before Kuzza. Kuona makuru awantu, amena umasokana mbanyumba, mipata mwa wantuga ya matari zinyumba zao, numana kuri madoka nukumeli vangeza, nzimu era sile baro, nzimu era, ni ama karanda ni mzama chizira wangare, ula wakonga mpukanome mecha wantuga, azuko na jifanisha. Kembe ni nukuna mbini ongo zita, nukuna zita, ni ama kari kari kiri kizao, nukuna kumene kukom zimu era, nukuna kumene kukom zimu era, muziwe, nzimu era, nipe kampeni neri yoto, yoto kwa wakwa, oh, samina kwa sama kampeni waele na, nukuna kumene, nukuna kumene,
today, people are told if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to fast, you have to pray, you have to attend some classes, you better get under the preaching of some man that already has been baptized by the Spirit and speaks in tongues, and by that means then you can hope to be baptized by the Spirit. If the book of Acts is to be the pattern, and it is, I can tell you with assurance, go back and read it, neither in Acts 2, neither in Acts 10, neither in Acts 19, when the Spirit was poured out, none of them were fasting and praying. None of them. And this is the reason for the confusion today, because the Spirit of God is not at men's dictates. He is not at their whim and will to do according to what they will. He's sovereign. And even as Christ told Nicodemus there in John 3:8, just as the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't direct the Spirit of God. That's why, coming back to Acts 10, three different expressions in here show us that the Spirit was given, His blessing is given according to God's sovereign purpose, not man, God. Verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on them. It's the Holy Ghost who is doing the acting. On them means they were passive. They weren't doing anything, but they were sitting and listening to Christ being preached, because it says, which heard the word. That hearing is not just physical ears, but their heart already open. Now God blesses them through that word by His Spirit. And then the second evidence of that is in verse 45. At the end of the verse, you see where it speaks of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Last time I checked, a gift is given according to the sovereign will of the giver. We don't demand a gift. If I came to you and demanded of you a gift, it would no longer be a gift. And then the third expression down in verse 47, what took place, it says that they have received the Holy Ghost. Received. That isn't the one who receives is the one who's being blessed. They don't drive it. They don't dictate it. They don't direct it. They receive it. So you can see there that the giving or the blessing of the Spirit, as described here, is of God's sovereign work. That's it. It's not man. It's of God. But the second plain truth that I have to tell you here is found in verse 45, and that is that this pouring out of the Spirit is God's confirmation of His blessing on Gentiles as well as the Jews. You see, already Peter, as a Jew, is in a very uncomfortable place here because he's being directed to a Gentile house and that of a Roman centurion who's already considered as being the enemy. And now he is taking scriptures that up to that point typically would be preached to the Jewish nation, and now he's preaching Christ to the Gentiles. Can you understand a little bit about how uncomfortable he was feeling? Now, if I could put this in language that affects us today, if you listen to the news, who would you say is the number one enemy of the world? All we hear about is the Muslims and Islam, and especially here in the United States, everybody's talking like we got to go over there and destroy every one of them. Can you imagine if the Lord should raise one of us up to go preach the gospel to the Muslims or to some in Islam with all of the hatred that exists? You're getting an idea of how Peter must have felt here going to a Roman centurion. Mm-hmm. But the point I was making is, do we think that God doesn't have some elect among even the Muslims? I know He does. Because even on the day of Pentecost, those that came to Jerusalem from some of these countries heard these Galileans speaking in their languages. It says in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians. Those are the Arabs. And yet God has His elect. Who are we to dictate where and when and how? It's the Lord. That verse 10 of Acts 2 mentions Egyptians and Libyans. Those are all Muslim countries today, and yet the Lord has His elect among them. Now coming back to Acts 10, here's the point on the blessing of the Spirit. It wasn't so much for Cornelius and his family. If I'm reading Acts 10:45 correctly, and I believe I am, notice, it says, and they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It had all to do with confirming to the heart of these Jews that this gospel of Christ was as valid for the Gentiles that God purposed to save as it was for the Jews. See, this blessing of the Spirit being poured out was as much for Peter and those Jews that accompanied him, confirming to their own minds and hearts that this is God's purpose to save Gentiles, just as much as it was His purpose to save Jews, and that to the glory of Christ.
Kuti siwo ka amina ine kira kugura mutsiwa kuno wone tirapoera kufuna kwa mulungu mena ama kumutira atwaza mina kwa funa sise toka sio kawa mena madzi
ziwa. See, this blessing of the Spirit was the Lord preparing the way for when Peter now would have to go back to Jerusalem and explain to his other Jewish comrades and believers, brethren, what on earth he was doing going up to Samaria preaching the gospel to a Gentile.
Chifuwa, yeye wawo sikuda alikumeleko wawo. Hada alimuyuda, wawo amakala kuyuda. Ndiye kuna kwelela, wawo na yuda uzoto wali Petro wa kaiga, wa kina kwa dami. Ndiye kata kumika mzimu ya asige, nito kite asa choka kumene kujaka kwelela kwa mbale wake, aka foro kosele, aka jidro mboni, za mine opera mzimu ya mungu mka su mine ata kwelela ni uongo.
Now, we're going to be getting into Acts 11, so I don't want to preach too much on Acts 11, but you can see the contention when Peter got back to Jerusalem and they found out that he'd been up there in Samaria preaching to the Gentiles. You see in verse 3 or verse 2 it says, when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, again the Jews, notice the word, contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them?
Iyo akumbulidwe anatukana naye hata kumtusa yuda namari jana nane na kuti muna wa kwanza wasatulidwe ndiyo numba kadia nawo wasatulidwe zakheka kwa ndinoma kakhala na wasatulidwe numba kadia nawo.
And what was the confirmation that Peter would give him? I'm jumping ahead, but you can see it in Acts 11:15. He tells him, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Nothing more need to be said. You know, I live in the United States, and this country, the Lord has provided such blessing as far as material blessing and power too, that many people don't even think outside of the United States. In other words, none of the rest of the world matters. That's how many think. And when I explain to them how the Lord has directed me over the years to go preach the gospel in this place or that place, on several continents, they marvel. They say, wow, isn't there plenty of work to do here in the United States? Well, there is, but the Lord has a people in every tribe, nation, and tongue. And the proof is when he blesses the preaching of the gospel into areas and people and lands that we would normally never think of, and yet, it's his blessing because of Christ's work. If Christ has paid a sinner's debt, he's going to bring the gospel of Christ to them.
Zigoli in a
Well, the third and final point that I'll make from this text is simply this, that the Spirit's blessing on Jew and Gentile is the same equally for both. He does not bless one more than the other. The Spirit was no less given to these as it was to the Jews. And that's the way it is in Christ. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. If the Lord has paid their sin debt, then they are blessed indeed.
Chifugwa imfaya mbia wa Yesu Kristu ndi mozi inaida tsela kukhulungira machimo awonza mnada inegera kukhulungira machimo ata ngotsela anthu onza ndi leti sibe ndi tsoni mozi kwa chikwati ndi pande kusiana pakati pa mkazi ndi mwamuna pande kusiana pakati pa mfulu ndi kapolo kaya pa zita mkolo zote ne siana onse amene Yesu Kristu adabwera kwa afera ada wana lita ndi tsoni mozi mozi sama siana ai Wala sana na kwenye sana na riso wa ure na mwenye chawara mwenye mwenye kusena na zao. Kwa hivyo mwenye kutu yolo ndola.
Now, here again, I will tell you that this pouring out of the Spirit was as much for Peter as anybody there, because he says in verse 46, when they heard them speak with tongues or languages and what? Magnify God, just like on the day of Pentecost. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? You see, Peter, even though preaching the gospel, may have still thought in his heart, but to baptize any one of them, immerse them, I don't know, they're Gentiles. But that the Lord took all that away, that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. That by immersing them in water, they were declaring that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on their behalf as much as for Peter's.
Malini mbajasila mkulidwe. Alikula mkula ndizila mkulidwe. Ndiku mkuza murungu. Pamene profeto anayanka. Kwa chika yari mundu. Akoza kule samazi. Kula sabazidwe awa. Amene analani. Kila nzimo yangati swa ife. Kula nzimo hata sika paka kasi. Mkono zimine sile shika nite. Zimine sasa shikira awa. Kule chini po chini. Zimine chikoto watishinga. Waleka. Ama kuna kuona kuli. Palibe sushi beshi maleka. You know.
Here again, I have to say that just as men have confused the work of the Spirit, they've confused the work of conversion, so they've also confused the work of baptism. You see, by today's standards, Peter should have been teaching them on how to be baptized in the Spirit, and then they would have experienced the baptism in the Spirit, and then Peter should now get them into a baptismal class so that we can really make sure that they have made the right decision and everything's just right before we can baptize them. That's modern religion. And if you don't think it's an issue, because as we read on in the book of Acts, Acts 15, there were some Jews who were saying, no, but wait a minute, before you baptize them, before you acknowledge them to be ones for whom Christ died, shouldn't they be circumcised first? You see, men always want to put conditions on, but what we read here, Peter's saying, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And what he's saying is still being uncircumcised. So he's got these others with him from Jerusalem. Okay, what? You know, and the Spirit is directing Peter, baptize him. And you notice how it's put in verse 48. It doesn't say he asked if they wanted to be baptized. It says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I can imagine some saying, what? You're not going to make them walk like us or talk like us first and learn to speak like we do and then we can baptize them? Nope. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Because what makes the difference is the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not who we are, whether Jew or Gentile. Well, that's the blessing of the Spirit. It's according to God's sovereign purpose, and He blesses those for whom Christ has paid the debt, Jew or Gentile, and all are blessed equally in Him, the same, Jew or Gentile, because of Christ and His finished work.
Imene yodu mgenchito ya mzimu era,
Well, we're going to have to stop there today. I liken this to a pure well of water. You can go to that well and you can take out buckets of water, draw them up and pour it into the basin and carry them to the house, but you can only carry as much as you can carry. But the well will be there when you go back next time and put your bucket down in there. That water will be there. And that's how I see this word. We'll come back here this next time and, Lord willing, continue to see God's blessing through His Spirit because of Christ.
Amen. Kuri tika wale kuri zungumika, kuri kama mazimese, kuri kama 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 kuri